There we go.
There it is.
All right. So this is our meetup today for Everyone Communicates. Gosh, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. I had to stop and think about that for a minute. I got too much going on in my head this morning. And Angela McBride is our facilitator. And so I want to talk just a little bit about masterminds. First of all, when I started, I wasn't really sure what a mastermind was or how that functioned way back when I first left the salon, my salon career, and I decided that I was going to get into coaching and creating, you know, a whole online international academy, and I wanted to monetize it somehow. And so when I first started, and I teach this in my Build a Better Business course that several of you on this call are in, when I first started, I just simply did a Zoom call and I had folks tap in and I would record it and we would all talk about a particular topic for the day. And I would do like a 5 day or a 5 session event. Whatever the topic was. And I would record that. And that was how I was starting to build content. And I realized very quickly that's what a mastermind is that you just, you know, bring out your topic, whatever your topic is. And so for those of you that are on this call, think about what it is, what's your lane, what it is that you want to help other folks with, what is it that you want to bring to the table? What is your message? And then start thinking about how you can have a 5-session meetup on a Zoom call. And the part that I really like, see, is that I can do a Zoom call from, you know, from anywhere. And I can, you know, like I'm on my phone, I'm on my cell phone right now. So I could do this no matter where I'm at, no matter what state I'm in, no matter where I'm traveling, no matter, all I need is just a quiet corner somewhere where I can record. And because I'm using Zoom, and there's 101 platforms you can use, but because I'm using Zoom, I can actually record it into the cloud. So that way it doesn't matter that I'm on my cell phone. It doesn't matter that I'm on a desktop, a laptop, a tablet, a cell phone, doesn't matter. Now, of course, on my cell phone, it's harder to share my screen. If I wanted to share, you know, a website or teach something that I have an actual printed document for, but I could teach from my cell phone from anywhere in the world. That's my whole point. And so think about how you can create your own mastermind. And that's what we're learning to do here, is not only how to facilitate a mastermind, but how to create one for our own companies, our own business, our own message, our own ministry, whatever that is. And so we do 5 sessions. The statistics in the 5 sessions tell us that when folks tap in on a first call, they want to feel included. And so that's why we've actually picked this book by John Maxwell, which is Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. The reason we picked that book is because it helps us talk about connecting deeper as we're actually doing a mastermind. So it's kind of doing its double duty. So not only is the topic a good topic to mastermind on, but then we're also doing the mastermind. And so each 5 sessions, we let someone else take a turn. I did 5 sessions, then Mason did 5 sessions, and now Angela, and wave Angela, hello. Angela is now our facilitator. Yes, good morning. And she is doing 5 sessions. And so this session today is her session number 2. Now, when we do the actual book of John Maxwell, we are actually doing chapters 1 and 2, and then we are doing chapters 6 and 7, and then we finish it out with chapter 9. And the reason that we're doing that is because it flows better, and we're not spreading it out. Since we only meet once a month, the book has 10 chapters, and it would be 10 months to go through the whole book. And so we're doing chapters 1 and 2, and then 6 and 7, and then we finish on our 5th session with chapter 9, and then somebody else gets to have a turn. So be thinking in the room who might like to go after Angela, and your only duty is to facilitate the actual chapters. and to just go through it. And as a facilitator, your job is to get everyone talking. That's the job of the mastermind facilitator, is to get everyone talking. Everyone has a voice. Everyone gets to have their opinion. And the problem that you have, and it's not really a problem, but the situation that you learn to overcome, is that some of your folks will be extroverts and they'll want to hog the entire conversation. And some of your folks are introverts and they won't want to participate unless you call on them. So the easy way to do that as the facilitator is to simply go ahead in the room, a person or two. For example, I might say something like, Angela, share with me, you know, about your thoughts on that subject. And then we're going to go to Linda and then Sally. And so what that does is that lets Linda and Sally know that their turn is coming up. And that also lets Angela know that there is other folks in the room that get to share their voice on the subject. So just a little bit about facilitating a mastermind. That's kind of how it works. And so today we are on chapter two. The other thing that I want to mention right before we jump in with Angela is, again, the purpose is twofold. Not only are we showing you how to do a mastermind, but we're actually doing a mastermind. And so that's the framework that we talked about. Now in session two, the thing that I want to highlight today is how do we invite? How do we invite folks to get onto our mastermind? You know, the platform can be any type of a conversation platform like Zoom. Zoom is kind of my favorite right now. No, my laptop's not my favorite right now because it bumped me out this morning. But Zoom is my favorite right now because of everything that we've gone through in the past couple of years. Almost everyone has now gotten familiar with Zoom. You know, the schools are using Zoom and meetings are using Zoom. Companies are using Zoom. And so when you tell everybody you're going to have a Zoom call, almost everyone goes, yeah, I know what that is. I've got an account. And so that's another reason I like to use Zoom, because it is the most popular and everyone kind of knows how to use it. But when we talk about how to invite, there are several ways that you can invite folks to get them to know that you're having a mastermind. The number one, of course, is an email list. Now, if a lot of you are just getting started, I don't know how far all of you are in collecting emails. I think, Sally, you probably have an email list because, you know, you send out your different events that you have going on. And Linda, do you have an email list at this point? Yes or no? Yeah.
Yeah. It's obviously in a growth phase, but yeah, I have one.
Okay. Okay. And Angela, have you started an email list yet for? No. Okay. So now the question is, okay, well, my email list is the perfect way to advertise whenever I want to have a mastermind, but how do I develop the email list? So one of the best ways to develop an email list is to actually give something away in exchange for their email. It's kind of a transaction. And so you can put something out online. Now, what I like to do, and the way I got started, is I did free masterminds. I did it for free. I didn't monetize it at first. I did it for free. And the statistics tell us that a 5 session is the perfect number of sessions to have, because the person will tap in on the first or second session. And by the third session, they're starting to feel connected to the other folks in the actual mastermind. And by the fourth session, they're starting to look forward to tapping in and talking to everyone. And by the fifth session, they would miss it once it ends. Because they're like, I'm going to miss those people. You know, they're my people and I'm going to miss them. And that's the perfect opportunity then for you to segue into a paid mastermind. And so one of the ways to do that is to make an offer during that free mastermind. Those first 5 free sessions that you give away is to make an offer that they can register for. And that's where you then collect their email address. And so a certain number of those folks will actually go through and register. But again, I'll give you a little insider tip here. What I did is I made my first mastermind group, all the folks that joined in for free, I made them all founding members and gave them the paid mastermind for free, and then asked them to invite someone. And that's how I grew my business. And so I didn't actually segue into a into paid masterminds for the first year. The first year I was just building my audience. I was building my business. I was giving the free masterminds away. And then I was making those folks founding members. And then once I got through my first year, I segued onto my website to join the mastermind membership site for $25. And then even then folks get two different masterminds for the same $25. And so that way I can build my platform. So it's a slower process, but we talked in our Build a Better Business group this past session that we had there, that it takes 3 to 5 years to actually launch a business. So whether you're opening a pizza shop and you've invested all of those funds up front to buy your equipment and to rent your space and to do your advertising and to get all of that together, it takes 3 to 5 years before you really start making a profit. But folks on the online space seem to think that they should start tomorrow and make a profit next week. And it takes time to build your audience on the online space the same as it takes time to build your audience in a physical space. So just keep that in mind as you're building. Those are just some tips and tricks on how to get started. And next month, we're going to talk about how to price. And then we're finally going to talk about how to launch. And so our first, again, we talked about the framework. Again, I like Zoom. Play around with whatever you like. And then how to invite. So once I have in mind what I'm going to do, then I simply put it out across my social media. I also put it on 3 event spaces. I put it on Meetup, Eventbrite, and Facebook events. Those are my 3 event spaces. Now, the reason I like to create an event, an actual event on that social media platform, whichever one or all, I do Meetup, Eventbrite, and Facebook event. The reason I do that is because those platforms will automatically remind your audience. And it's a search engine just like anything else. If I go to a new town, and I'll just give you a little insider tip here. When I go to a new town and I want to meet some people, I go to Meetup. And so when we bought our condo in Sarasota, the first thing that I did is I went to Meetup. I clicked through on Sarasota, and I like to do hiking and biking. And so the first thing I did is I looked for bike groups or walking groups or whatever in Sarasota. And we met up with some folks at, on one of their local bike trails. And now we have friends and we've developed relationships in Sarasota just from me going to Meetup. So it is a search engine is my point. And so when your topic is out there in an event and folks will go to Meetup to say, oh, is there anything on travel? Oh my gosh, look, here's this Sally Sutter gal. I keep seeing her over here with these events. I'm finally going to click through and that starts to build her audience. And then she can put that same meeting, that same event over on Eventbrite. And again, Eventbrite does not charge you unless you're charging a fee for the event. So you can even put your paid masterminds over there once you get to the point where you're charging. And then you can also put it in Facebook, and then Facebook will remind the folks that are interested. They'll click, and probably all of us has probably clicked an interested Facebook event at some point. And so you see how that works. It comes up in your notifications like, hey, that event's coming up that you were interested in, and it reminds you. And so it's doing the marketing for you if you put what you're doing over into an event type platform. So that's how you do the inviting. And then you can just put it across your social media in general. If you want to create a little graphic over in Canva, how many are using Canva? Yeah. Do we have anybody that's not using Canva? Angela, are you familiar with Canva?
Not at all.
Okay. You need to tap in to either our Build a Better Business or our bloggers or, you know, one or two or both of those, because we do talk about that and how to create a graphic. And so what you can do is you can start doing some branding around your message. And so several of you already have branding going on. And so you can use the graphics there on Canva just to create a few. And we see it all the time. And once you realize how easy Canva is to do and how it helps you in actually branding your business, you'll start to see all of these graphics all over social media. And you're like, I bet they're using Canva, because you can see how easy it is. So that's what I have to say for today. And so now I want to turn it over to Angela, and we are going to cover chapter two. This is our second session. And one more thing, I know I keep jumping in before I hand it over. When you go to the free meetup in the Kathy Benner International Academy for this group, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, everything is in the Academy. So if you just Google Kathy Benner International Academy, it'll come up. And when you register there with just your email, and it'll ask if you want to do a password or not, you don't have to buy anything. It gets you into the Academy, and you can see all the free stuff. There's a whole lane of free meetups. There's a free meetup for the Build a Better Business. There's a free meetup for the bloggers. There's a free meetup for writers. There's a free meetup for all kinds of things there. And this free meetup for Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. When you click through on it, you will find a link to get the Cliff Notes. And then if you decide that you want to be the facilitator for a 5-session time period with this group, then I give you a complimentary access into the course, which actually has the whole moderator package, how you moderate and facilitate a mastermind. And you get that for free if you choose to facilitate or moderate this group for a 5-session time. So we are going to talk about chapter two, what folks really want to know when you are communicating. So Angela, over to you.
Good morning. And first of all, thank you guys for being in this room and listening to me practice. But in chapter two, it was talking about connecting, and it's not about me. When you go and start facilitating, it's not about you, it's about other people. And I used to say this slogan that I heard years ago, and it said, I want for others what I want for myself. And that totally tells me that it's not about me. And unfortunately, people usually focus on themselves. Maybe until they start having families, but generally speaking, we're all pretty selfish people. And so reading the chapter with John Maxwell's Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, I was realizing something that I really do need to get into focusing about on folks and other people. And since this is a your business, and also how to communicate, I don't have a business, but I noticed, and I'm so amazed, I'm so excited that you guys have businesses. So what I'd like to know from you guys is what's your business, and how did you initiate your business? How did you get started? I'm just so interested in that. So let's get started. So Sally, what business are you in, and how did you get started?
I am a travel agent. I own my own travel agency. Oh. I got started. The seed was planted when I went to Hawaii in 1999, because before then we had Before then we had traveled, but it was all in the continental United States. And this was an opportunity. My husband and I went with friends. We were there almost 2 weeks, and it was just an opportunity to see just a different part of the world. I mean, Hawaii is part of the United States, but frankly, it's just different. So, and then after that, the next year we went to Belize, and we went to Italy, and, you know, we've been on some cruises. So it's that was just planted in my head. And then we got the opportunity to join a host company for travel. And my husband thought, like, I enjoy doing this. I might as well be making some money from it. So that, and that was a big learning process. It was just, we made a lot of mistakes, but we learned a lot of things, and it eventually grew our business. Mm-hmm. We moved to another host company and we're working hard at it, but I was also a real estate appraiser at the mm-hmm. time. I was co-owner of a company in Lancaster. So my full-time was the appraisal business. Oh. And it got to the point where I thought, you know, if I'm going to do this, I need to do this. Mm-hmm. So, because you can't, something like that and a lot of things just can't be side hustles. If you're going to do it, you got to do it. Mm-hmm. So I sold out my share of the company, and it was hard. It was very hard. And we went through a lot of bad things, and my husband's health got worse. But then, to paraphrase, like, but then we got help from the SBA. Mm-hmm. We got financial help. We got on a better footing with the business plan, and we were headed in the right direction. And we got into their host company. So we started to see the difference in our successes. And I went back to work at Sears part-time until I got retirement, until I got my Social Security. Mm-hmm. And one time I posted something like I had hurt my knee and I couldn't work for a while. And a friend of mine said, "Oh, I'm so glad you're home. I'm so glad that you're not working, because my family wants to go to China and they want to take a Viking River cruise. And if you weren't available to talk to them, they'd go to somebody else." So what happened was we got that, I think it ended up being 8 people on that cruise. And that further solidified my thought that you have to be present all the time. And that was a big turning point. I thought, okay, if we get this, because the commission was going to be pretty good, then I'll quit working at Sears. You know, I offered that up to God. I said, and we did, and I did. And we also were able to help the Olivedale Senior Center. We went on I took the first trip in April of 2015 to San Antonio, Texas, a big group. Mm-hmm. But it was at that time that my husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Mm. So it was good to be able to have this business that I could stay home mm-hmm. and take care of him. And I moved us from one house to an apartment mm-hmm. while he was in a nursing home. And he was able to come home and live out his final months right at home in a comfortable home with hospice care. But I had this business and I was able to go forward with it. So that's pretty much where I am now. It's been almost 6.5 years almost since he passed away. So it started with Hawaii.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. So it seems like your passion for traveling just was a seed, and then it just blossomed into a flower, and then it was like a flower garden.
So yeah, that's a good others. Way to put it.
Wow. Wow. And I also want to appreciate, you mentioned some things that that I wasn't, I've never thought about, was going to the small business. Mm-hmm. So thank you. I appreciate you sharing that. What about you, Mason? Oh, are you there?
There we go. Now I'm back. There you go. It's a funny red line. So my day job, I work logistics with Walmart. I've been a logistics guy for years, since my days in the Air Force. That's my day job, if you will. And I'm working on writing. I've always enjoyed telling stories. I got that from my father. He was a big storyteller, Navy guy, farm boy, just a combination. They always tell stories. And I picked that up from him. So my next chapter will work towards a just basically becoming a better storyteller and helping people connect and learning about people through their stories. Learning and sharing and connecting. And that's just something I enjoy. Some stories are goofy. Some stories are silly. Sometimes you don't realize you have a story till you think about it. It's like, wow, I actually did this or did that. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. We'll see where it goes. I'm working on it. But that kind of wraps up, I guess, me in a nutshell, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I realize I repeated myself there, so I apologize. Bad habit. So
Mason, so in your storytelling, do you plan on like writing a book with different stories in it, or and how are you, and just how you're going to share your life and your stories, and is your father still, and you still collaborating on storytelling?
No, so first my father passed away back in 17. Mm-hmm. I have a book in works. I expect it out this year. And it's kind of a book of kind of how I've evolved on some things. What I really enjoy is enjoying kids' stories. But what I have found, and I stumbled into it, is that, so I write a really good business report. Mm-hmm. It's dry, it's factual, it's to the point. It's a good report. Mm-hmm. But when my oldest was born, I couldn't tell him a story because it was dry, it was factual, it was to the point, you know, and so I had learned that I wanted to tell a story. I wanted to connect better. And I wasn't connecting very well with that. My kids know me, so I can be a little dry. But other kids look at me like, all right, you know. So I've over time, I'm learning that. And what's interesting is what I've stumbled across is when I take time to be more vulnerable, mm-hmm. which is not a comfortable position, I have found that I can connect to people I never thought I would connect with. I write articles for our company newsletter, you know, where I worked at Walmart. Mm-hmm. And I don't, every now and then I'll write the businessy ones, you know, but usually I write a topic that, something that resonates with me, you know, on a level. And I'm always amazed by when I get people's reactions. Because I don't write for the group. I don't. I write for the one person that might connect with that. Okay. It's just, and I have just found that when I am more vulnerable, when I put myself out there, mm-hmm. you know, I know that I live in a very thin glass house. Mm-hmm. And I own this. And when I share that, it's interesting, the connections, the contacts I've made with people, mm-hmm. where they're like, yeah, that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. Been there, done that. People that I would have no reason to come across will approach me. I've had that happen in church. I used to write for my church newsletter. Mm-hmm. And I had a gentleman one day come up to me, and I used to ask questions. I would have questions. And I decided to put those questions in the newsletter and ask for people's opinion. What? Tell me, help me learn. And they would send me emails or talk to me or whatever. And I would publish those answers. And I had this guy come to me, and he was angry. Oh, he was mad. Why are you doing that? Why are you sharing that? Why are you asking those questions? Mm-hmm. I said, because I want to learn. Well, you should. I was like, you know what, though? You and I have never met, and we never would have talked except for that article. He did not like that answer, but it is the truth. We talked because he approached me. And I find that a better way of connecting, because I flip-flop between introvert and extrovert. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, you know, most times I'm actually an introvert and I force myself to get up, but I want to make the connections with people. And for me, I've just found stories. And it wasn't like my dad and I never collaborated on stories. Mm-hmm. My dad just stumbled into things. As a farm boy with five brothers and a sister, uh-huh. 4 years Air Force, 24 years Navy out to sea, he just stumbled into things. Long after my dad was out of service, living in Oklahoma, small town, he just stumbled into things. He would just tell me about it. I'm like, yeah, I mean, just things. Uh-huh. And I always enjoyed that because he was out to sea so much as a kid. That's how I connected with him, you know, because I wasn't with him. He's out to sea, because when I was a kid, Navy guys were out to sea 9 months a year, every year.
Wow.
You know, none of this, and this was in the 70s. There's no phone calls. There's no, it's a letter every now and then, and dad didn't write. So I had to learn to, and that just, that's how I grew up. So I stumbled in. It's just a way to connect, you know? So that's my way of connecting to people, sharing with people. And if I have to get vulnerable, I'm learn to be comfortable in that, because then it's a little bit where you throw yourself under the bus. Mm-hmm. But once you get somebody laughing, you make that connection, you know, you make that connection. And that's big for me, is trying to do that.
Well, wow, Mason, that is so interesting. And just like Sally, you had the same characteristics. Is your passion to want to give to other people and want to share with other people your passion. And you made a statement too about being thrown under the bus. Think about this for a minute. If, like, even when you say thrown under the bus or a car or whatever, you have a lot of control underneath the hood, underneath the car, the bus, you have the control. The control is not actually in the driver's seat. What's under the bus, under your situation? You have control of your future and your story because you're underneath that car, that bus. That's where everything is.
Right.
You can see everything. So good. Thank you so much. What about you, Linda? How'd you get started and what's your business? I'm so excited.
What I'm doing now is coaching and guiding people. And that tendency started way back. I've always had the heart of a teacher, but was pulled into family business for many years, and then into business with my husband for a whole bunch more years. And over that course of time, I developed a lot of computer skills, not like a full-time programmer, but as a very adept user. And I always was the go-between my company and my team and whoever the computer software company was. Mm-hmm. So I was always like the in-house trainer and troubleshooter and crisis averter. And so all those skills for computer and organization, when I finally was out of the family businesses and all of those things and was able to actually pick for myself, I decided to be a tech coach for entrepreneurs. And it's a pretty broad category. Entrepreneurs, coaches, speakers, it's like you name it. And I'm even coaching someone who's in a doctoral program because we're able to focus on priorities, using tech selectively to keep track of the progress and the process and gather information and all that. So I just use things as are helpful to the individual person. And then because of my background with having lost my husband, mm-hmm. and knowing some of the special things that families run into during a time of loss, and my bent toward technology and organization, I've created a course called the Legacy of Love Project. And I help people gather together all of the aspects of their perfect end of life plan, so they can be a blessing to their family instead of a burden.
Wow, that is so interesting. Again, I'm just amazed of how an event in each of you guys' life took place, planted the seed, and you all just took off on that one thing. And also, I'm looking, you guys are going to be able to help me, because myself, I am still looking. I know what my passion is, but because of you guys, I now know that I can actually, I want to say, stop looking now. because I know what my passion is. And that's the main thing, is once I know what my passion is, I can now move forward. And here I was like, okay, I can do this, I can do that. But you guys all have just told me, I only need one thing. And since I know I already have it, thanks to you guys, I am ready. And I thank you, I'm ready. Yes, Mason.
So obviously I did a good job fooling you. Just because I know kind of what I want to do, I am absolutely unfocused and disjointed. Absolutely. I can give you a dozen things I want to do, but I am totally unfocused. So the purpose of groups like this, talk with Kathy. So please, you know, those are nice words you're saying, but be careful. Let's put me onto the side, because I'm like, yeah, I don't know what I want to do next. I kind of do, kind of don't. So be careful on that one for me. I'm like, I'm your scatterbrain guy over here.
For your honesty. However, do you still, though, I'm gonna tell you something. You are one heck of a storyteller. You really are. And since in the last several months, I've heard you tell stories, and you got it. That's your niche. You are really good at it. And I appreciate that. But thanks for that. I really appreciate that. And you know what else you guys have taught me today? Is everything is kind of based on time. Kathy, you said time 3 times in just a couple of seconds. You said about time and how it takes time, and it took like 3 to 5 years, and it was time this and time that. So apparently that's very important. I'm gonna key in on that and making, maybe setting a time limit for what I want to achieve and stuff like that. And I am just so amazed about how in this room, everyone has either you have more than one business, or you focused on one business, and you have allowed it to grow through your connecting with other people. So that's, to me, that's an encouragement for me. And I just want to, right now, I just want to thank you so much of sharing today your story. And I do want to say also that maybe, I don't know, I can help you, but my goal has been to start a nonprofit business. And I wanted, my goal is not only nonprofit business, but to focus on single moms and their daughters, because I have found that in my past, even though I don't have any girls, but I'm a daughter, that relationships between moms and girls, I've noticed, is unique in itself. And for some reason, there's sometimes they can be troublesome in the connection. So I don't know if you all have daughters or but and stuff, but I know, Mason, that you do have a daughter and stuff. And but yeah, so you guys have really encouraged me today, just with my passion for what I want to do, and realizing that, like what Kathy said, don't get discouraged, because it's going to take time. So again, thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Mason. Oh, I thought he was saying something.
So, Mason, you're on mute.
There we go. I was trying to get unmuted.
Oh, okay.
Two things. One, now I met Kathy back in 16.
Mm-hmm.
16. I was starting to explore the idea of writing a book and goal setting. So I've watched Kathy since then grow. Right. And I actually met Kathy. I went to one session, and on that session, she and Debbie Marks invited me to lunch. And that may actually be the last time you and I ever saw each other in person. But I've watched Kathy grow all these years. And be careful in the idea of a daughter's a connection thing. You know, pretty nails. They're nice. This one, I can't get the acrylic off. This is an acrylic. My daughter got bored last week and asked, Daddy, can I do your nails? She's used some kind of weird super glue thingy on it. I got the rest off by prying them off. I still can't get this one off. And they started 3 inches long. And I work on computers.
With that, Mason, I'm gonna have to share for just a minute.
Yes.
I was a nail tech for 25 years.
Please. You know, I should have called you because I have tried the dish soap and the vegetable oil. My wife won't let me use the acetone.
No, it's going to take, real quick side note, it's going to take the acetone, but be careful. The acetone will take the surface right off your tabletop, right off your countertop. So that's make sure you have, it. You have to have a glass cutting board. Okay. You know, you can buy those or a piece of glass of some sort and then put a towel on that and then a glass bowl with the acetone and soak and it'll get all lumpy, bumpy, and it'll come off. So let's talk about
connecting. Okay. Now, like I said, last weekend, my daughter's home, no friend, they got bored. She's, hey, actually she did my lipstick because she's sitting there showing all the lipsticks to my mom, to my wife. And I wanted, it was bad. And she did my nails and they were long. Now I work computers at night, so I can't type. I've got these 3-inch nails and I trimmed them down. My wife and daughter conspired against me, convinced me it would take me 2 weeks before this will come off. And I bought it, hook, line, sinker. I am on Zoom calls to my female colleagues at work asking them, what do I do? Because I am freaking out. Now, I've got all these others off. This one's still on, and it irritates the living daylights out of me. But what I'm doing now is, and I want to show you what this, the whole purpose of this mastermind is about learning how to communicate. Okay. So I'm sure, I've actually soaked this thing about an hour and a half and the other stuff that hasn't come off. I probably could do more, but now it's just kind of funny because what I've just done, Angela, is this is the first time I've ever met Linda. She's not moving. She's not shaking her head outwardly, but inside she's going, oh my God. You know, and the fact is she will now remember we made a connection on some level. Maybe not the most professional. And I'm only speaking on Linda's thoughts because she won't say these out loud because she's going, oh my God, shut up, Mason. But by embracing this discomfort, this is something unique, okay? I've reached out because now you can commiserate. I've connected with Kathy because she's a nail tech. Sally's going, oh my God, Mason, just shut up. You know, but this is a way of making a connection. I'm having fun. I am really uncomfortable with this. This makes me, I'm sick of it. But by conveying a vulnerability a little bit, I'm reaching to you on a different level. So then that's what stories do. That's what the whole nature is. We're communicating. We're trying to connect with someone, something that's different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just want to throw that in because it actually is topic related. So,
yeah. And you know what, too? I'm like, Sally, I love to travel. I love to travel, but due to, things that are going on right now, pandemic. I have not traveled since 2019. So I'm thinking that maybe I might probably need to get a hold of you to get me back on the ship, back in the air, just back on the road, basically. Yeah. Especially since my 65th birthday is coming up and I wanted to do something big for that. So
what did you just say?
My 65th birthday is coming up pretty soon.
You have got to be borderline inappropriate. You have got to be making that up. There's no way. I refuse to believe you.
No, May 2nd.
And I'm not asking more. I'm not going to ask that question. Inappropriate for God to ask that question. I'm just telling you, you are making that up. Period. End of conversation. No. And by the way, Sally, I got to get hold of you about a trip to Florida. I'm writing a note to myself now.
So,
okay. So
This is awesome. This is awesome. And then again, like I said, Linda, what you're doing and stuff with the legacy and creating a legacy for your families, that's so important too, because as I expressed last month, how I had lost a son and several years ago, and over a decade ago, but still, he has a sibling, and then to be able to connect, and for him to be able to connect not only with my son, but my son also has children, so that would be their my grandchildren, and one of my grandkids is even named after his uncle that he never met. So you're right, Mason. It's all just it's like a web. It's like you know, we're all weaved together. And so again, back to this time thing. I'm just, it just amazes me how everything in our life is for a certain time, and everything is has its perfect timing. And I just reading this morning, talking about time and stuff, because I was trying to get ready and I was getting a little bit nervous and stuff. And it was like Andy Warhol says, they always say time changes things, but you actually have to change them yourself. And I just that kind of hit me for some unknown reason. It may be because I'm being vulnerable, like Mason said or whatever, but time is so important. And even like right now, my timing to get things done right now and to leave a legacy, and to, as Kathy was saying, to have a passive income. I don't want that to pass me by, and I don't want you guys to, and I'm just so thankful that you guys are not letting that pass you by. Either your passion, you've taken it and you went with, and you guys are such an encouragement to me. You really, really are, and I appreciate your time in sharing with me today. And I'm just gonna hand it back over to Kathy. And thank you.
Angela, you did a wonderful job. Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you. You have to exercise everything. And so you've exercised your ability to facilitate a group. And didn't she do a wonderful job pulling everyone into the conversation? She had everyone share. Everyone got to tell their story. And so I just want to just say thank you, Angela. And I think that what you want to start with mothers and daughters is you just need to align yourself with some folks that are doing whatever you envision yourself doing. So if you envision yourself coaching, align yourself with some life coaches. If you envision yourself creating a course about this, then align yourself with some folks that are creating courses. If you envision yourself having a meetup group or a mastermind such as this, then you're in the perfect spot aligning yourself with how to do a mastermind where you can bring folks in and have that heart-centered and heartfelt conversation. And then as that unfolds, because action comes first and clarity comes second. And so as that unfolds and you take action, you will become more and more clear on how you want to deliver your message and how you do want to connect with folks. And then the more clear you become, don't be afraid to just tweak your business just a little bit. We talked in an earlier clubhouse room this morning. And Linda, were you in the room this morning with Wendy? We talked this morning in our clubhouse room that sometimes it's only a degree of difference. And that makes a huge difference. And again, Mark is a pilot, my Mark, and he has an airplane. And if he changes his direction by just a degree, by the time he flies for several hours, he ends up in a totally different place just by adjusting a degree or two. And sometimes that's all we need to adjust to end up where we want to go. Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of us like Mason, Mason says, I don't know where I want to go yet. I don't know what I want to do with my storytelling. I don't know what that looks like yet. As Mason takes action, that will start to become more clear. And I know the analogy that everyone uses all the time is, you know, when you're walking down the path, you can't see what's around the corner until you get to the corner. And then you can see more clearly what's around the corner of the path. And I know that's analogy is overused, but it's so true. And it's hard to tell where you want to end up until you can get to the corner and kind of see where you're headed and see where it is that you do want to end up. And you might, as you're going down that path, you might decide to change directions. And all along the way, you're going to have forks in that path. You're going to have two choices to make, and you have to decide which one is going to fit your lifestyle better, which one's going to fit your message better, which one is going to actually put you in the direction where you really want to go. But you can't make that decision until you get to the fork in the road and the fork in the path. So you have to take action first. So I guess that's what I want to encourage all of us here. Sally has taken action. She has gained more and more clarity as her business has unfolded. She sees exactly where she needs to be. Opportunities have dropped into her lap because she was taking those opportunities as she saw them. And so even if you're taking baby steps and just going forward, you know, an inch at a time, you have to start taking action. So I know with me, and we went around and everybody shared how they got started in business when I was a single mom, and I'll just tell my story very briefly. When I was a single mom and struggling financially, I had an aha moment. And we talked about nails, my connection with Mason over his acrylic nail there on his finger, he can't get off. But when my nail tech shared with me how much money she was making, it was a big aha moment for me. And that's what made me decide to go to salon school and come out as a nail tech at age 40. And so I didn't start my salon career until I was 40. And so my mother then sat me down and she gave me a little pep talk. And she said, you know, I needed to start thinking about what I was going to do for retirement. And so I thought, well, you know, this income is pretty good. Fast forward and leave out a lot of the details, but the income was pretty good and it allowed me to actually purchase some real estate. So that's how I got started purchasing real estate for passive income, is because the income was so good there. But I knew that I wasn't going to be able to be doing nails when I was 90. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, when I read all of the statistics, it said that a nail tech usually lasts in the industry about 10 years, because what mm-hmm. happens is, you know, when you're doing nails 12-hour days, 6 days a week, after a while, you know, you need shoulder surgery, and then you need elbow surgery, and then you need, you know, carpal tunnel surgery, because you're just doing that repetitive motion day after day, after hour, after month, after year. And I lasted 25 years. I passed the statistic of 10 years and I lasted 25, but that has more to do with my tenaciousness than my health, because the doctor started telling me I needed shoulder surgery and elbow surgery and carpal tunnel surgery. And that's when I knew that I had to retire. And it was huge for me because I didn't have a clue. That was when Mason and I met back in 16. And I went to that meetup and Mason was there, and, you know, and we had a mutual speaker, coach friend that was speaking that day. And he said, you know, you have so many skills. He was talking to everyone in the room. He said, you have so many skills and so much in your background. He said that you are very knowledgeable. You know what you know. And he said, and there's other folks that would pay you for that knowledge. He said, just like Linda, she went through a situation and has now created a product and a service based on what she knows. And nobody can dispute that she doesn't know that, because that's her lane. That's her experience. That's her take on things. And she can now help folks that haven't experienced that yet. And she can help them with that because she knows. And so I took that to heart, and that's when I decided that I wanted to start doing something to help other folks create passive income. And so once I retired from the salon industry, I was afraid that I wouldn't have anything to do because I was so used to working all those hours. And I knew that I had created some passive income. And so I went to our city, and I just shared this in our clubhouse room this morning. I went to our little city of Canal Winchester at the time and said, I want to open a short-term rental. Now, of course, most people think of that as an Airbnb or a guest house. And everyone's kind of familiar with the term Airbnb. Airbnb is simply a booking site, but everybody's familiar with that term. And so I said, I want to open a guest house, an Airbnb, a bed and breakfast. And I said, I need to get permission from the city to do that. And they said, well, no one's ever asked us that before. So let us dig into the books and find out how you do that. And they came back and said, all we can find is the Ohio Revised Code that says you're allowed to do it in a residential house, but we don't have any program for that. We don't have any rules for that. We're going to have to make up some. And I said, okay. So they worked with me and I worked with them, and we created a checklist of anyone that wants to open an Airbnb, guest house, VRBO, anything like that. And it's in the overall term is short-term rental. And anyone that wants to open a short-term rental would have to go through those steps. And I helped the city put that together. So the city in turn, and this is where opportunities fall into your lap, the city in turn said, we appreciate you working with us, and we got to work with you, and now you're open, and now you can start accepting guests, and we're going to give you a grant to write that course. So anyone else that comes to the city that wants to open, we're going to send them to you, and you teach them how. And that, my folks, was my first course, and Mason might not even know this, that was the first course that I uploaded into my International Academy. Because the city gave me the grant money to, they funded that for the research, for the platform, for everything that I needed to start. And that's how I started my teaching and coaching business, was because I saw an opportunity there to create some passive income for myself. And it even bloomed into additional passive income by not only running the guest house, but then by having a course in an online academy. So I knew that I wanted to have an international flair, because my degree program, and Sally will appreciate this, my degree program is hospitality management and travel and tourism. And so I've worked many, many years in the hotel industry. So I have a background before I got into the salon. The salon business was strictly for the money. Now, don't get me wrong. I loved everything about it. I loved all my customers. I ended up owning 5 salons by the time I retired. So it was good. It was a very good opportunity for me. But my real passion is hospitality. So the bed and breakfast is right up my alley, and helping folks then generate that passive income just goes hand in hand. And since I wanted to have an international flair, I named the academy. And here's what I want to share with Mason, is I decided I needed to name where I was going, not where I have been. I wanted to create the vision around myself on where I was headed. And I wanted to be international. I wanted to, you know, and of course the pandemic has really slowed all of that international travel down, but I wanted to be more global. I wanted to be a world citizen. I wanted to be more global. I wanted to be all inclusive. And so that's where I connect with Sally. She's doing the all inclusive travel. And I've traveled some trips with Sally with her planning. And so I love all of that. And so I named my academy the Kathy Benner International Academy with that in mind, see. And I could have named it, you know, the Canal Winchester Academy, my hometown, but you see how limiting that is. See, and I wanted to change my mindset first so that my physical being and my physical presence in this world would finally follow what I was trying to embrace. So create something on where you're going. And if you want to be a storyteller, start introducing yourself as a storyteller. Even if you don't quite know how that's going to look just yet. You see where I'm going with that? And Angela, introduce yourself as a lifestyle coach, even if that's where you're headed with that. It's just a thought. Mm-hmm. So think about, you know, where you want to align yourself. You see where I'm going. Yeah. And so now when I look at my statistics on my academy, because one of my lanes is how to open a short-term rental. That's one of my lanes. You know where my biggest audience is from? Africa.
Wow.
And the reason my biggest audience is from Africa is because a lot of those villages all across the continent of Africa, they don't have the big hotels like we have here in the States. They don't have the freeways with, you know, the Red Roof Inn along the freeway or whatever. So they are very interested in opening Airbnbs throughout these little villages. So when people travel, they have places to stay. And so that, and it's also an income source because there's not a lot of places maybe where they can work. And that is a way that they can create income for their family. They create a service for the community. They create a place to stay for the folks that are traveling there. And so it's a win-win-win. And that happens to be my biggest audience. And I'm not sure that that audience would have found me if I would not have put the word international in my academy name. It makes them feel invited by making it all inclusive. So anyway, that's just my share on how I got started and how things unfolded for me. So look for those opportunities, start taking some steps toward your goals, and your vision will become so much more clear as you go down that path. So any comments or shares before we go? It's a little bit after 11, so we've been on for an hour. I want to appreciate everyone. Angela, you did a wonderful job. Thank you so much. Mason, I want to actually take you to a storytelling club sometime. I think I mentioned that there's some storytelling Facebook groups out there, but there is actually, you know, like open mic night, there's open storytelling night.
Now things are settling down pandemic-wise like that. A little more likely. Yeah.
Have you been to any of those, the storytelling? It's an open mic night. Can everybody see Mason? Open mic night, put Mason up behind the microphone. He would be in his element to tell a story or two, even though he's claiming he's an introvert. I think that once he got into his story and focused.
Should I tell a story about the nuclear bomb, banging on the nuclear bomb?
you've got so many stories. And Linda, I definitely want to connect with you more on your project that you have going. I've got several podcasts every month, and you would fit a couple of different podcasts. So I have your name down here to connect with you to get you booked on something there. And then Sally, I also have a vision in my business that freestyle living can end in a couple of trips, so that folks can, you know, join them. They can go to the free meetup, such as this one. They can then take the course. They then can join a paid mastermind membership site to be a part of the community. They can have some one-on-one coaching if they would like, and then they can celebrate by going on a trip with all of the freestyle membership. So that's where I'm headed. And then at the end of the day, Angela was talking about a nonprofit at the end of, and Linda, I'm sure hers is a nonprofit. And at the end of the day, I want to have a scholarship for each lane that I'm in. So that's how I want to give back to the community. It's the free meetups on the front end and a scholarship on the back end. And so it's a way of giving, whether it's a newbie or whether it's somebody that's been in my tribe for some time. So that's how, and I had no idea when Mason and I met in 2016 that this is what my business would look like. I had no idea that I even wanted to do this. If you remember, Mason, we were all just kind of looking at each other going, what do we do with this information we just heard today? How does it apply to us? What is our life going to look like a few years down the road? And it was because I took action and I kept tweaking kind of how I wanted my business to look is how I ended up here, and why I have a stronger message and a stronger voice today is because I took action in 2016. So anyway, that's my pitch for today. I appreciate all of you. You've done a wonderful job with exactly where you are, and where you are is perfect, by the way. Don't ever think that I should be here, I should be there, I should be doing this more, or I should have already accomplished that. You're perfectly imperfectly right exactly where you're supposed to be for today's message and for your message to the world. You're exactly where you need to be, because I've often said, I never want to pray for 100 customers or 100 clients by tomorrow, because I wouldn't know how to handle 100 customers by tomorrow. I want to pray that I can handle the next one that comes my way, because by the time I have 100, I will be a different person. It's about who I am becoming, not about how many folks that I can sell. It's about who I am becoming. It's about growing myself. And God knows I'm not ready to have this influx of customers. I wouldn't have the systems in place to handle a huge, huge number. See, but by the time I grow into that person and I have that number of customers, I'll be ready, because I will have grown into that. So that's what I want to leave with everyone today. And one last comment, and let's just go around the room for one final comment. Angela, how about you?
I'm sorry, I was just listening to you.
So just one last comment before we go today.
I'm just going to say thank you so much. I really enjoyed everybody's shares and your expertise and also and your helpfulness too, because it really has impacted me in this last hour. And so thank you for participating. Appreciate it.
Mason, how about you?
I would echo what you said, the importance of trying to connect with the one. I know my own experience. When I try and connect with the group, I get intimidated. When I try and connect with the one, if I speak to groups, I don't speak to the group. I speak to somebody in the audience. And that's the ground. That's the foundation of any of this. So.
Great comment. Linda, how about you?
I have something I'd like to share with Mason. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I pour myself into topics that are relevant to my personal and professional growth at the time. And so I have to confess, I haven't listened to this one in a while, but I think you may find it very relevant if it's not already on your radar. The man's name is Matthew Dix, D-I-C-K-S. And he has a podcast called Speak Up, and his website is speakupstorytelling.com. And he does like The Moth and Story Slams and those kinds of things. And he has started that. I kind of dropped out when COVID started because I needed to focus on other aspects because I was pivoting myself. But he was running his own Story Slams. And on the podcast, they listen, he plays stories, and then he and his wife kind of like analyze them and dissect them with like how you like, you know, B, A, B, C, storytelling, setting scenes, building character, going back and repeating relevant points for emphasis. It's a real way of building your craft from wherever you are in your skill set.
At speakupstorytelling.com.
Yeah.
And the podcast Speak Up. Kathy told me about this, and I've actually tried to connect to a few people. There's a gentleman who lives not far from me, and he's very high on that food chain, and I am zero on his radar.
Well, you don't need to be. And he teaches courses too. And this is all last I knew.
I'll look him up next.
And they used to be completely live, but then they added virtual because of COVID. So I want to say he was in New England. I don't know where you're located, Mason.
Ohio. So yeah, it'll be virtual.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, the amount of learning that you can just pick up by listening mm-hmm. for any of us where speaking is an aspect of what we will do is invaluable.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Linda, thank you so much. That was perfect. Yes. Sally, how about you? What would you like to share?
I just want to tell Angela how much I appreciated this morning.
Oh, thank you.
A great, great job.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, everyone. It's about 14 minutes after, so we ran over just a little bit, but it was great conversation. And Angela, you're doing a wonderful job. And next month, Angela will be in her session 3, which is going to be our chapter 6. And so of the book, if you want to follow along. Now, again, Angela is doing a wonderful job. You don't have to have the book. You don't have to look at the cliff notes. You can just come in and join the conversation. And so thank you so much for being here today, and we'll see everyone next time. And not to forget, I do record this, and the replay will be in the Kathy Benner International Academy under that icon for Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, under the free meetup. And that's where you'll find the replay if anybody wants to go back and re-listen. So thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.